Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 69.
69.
Yeah.
Doug Glatt.
Glatt, yes. Yes.
For the uninitiated, the movie Goon.
That's right.
Sean William Scott's character, Doug Glatt.
Doug Glatt. Yeah. That's right.
Where's the number 69?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite moments in that movie is somebody was holding up a sign that said, Doug Glatt is Hebrew for f*** you. It's like, yes. That's awesome.
Nice. Just wish the second one hadn't sucked so bad.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a shame.
Dude. Yeah. So how you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Hanging in there.
Weather's finally turned. It's feeling a little bit more hot outside.
That's right.
I'm feeling a little burnt out.
Is that right?
I got a vacation coming up.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And I'm just waiting for it.
That's always tough, man.
Yeah. I've been taking it easy. Just reading some books, playing some games, watch the odd movie. Still playing Persona 5.
Okay, cool.
Super long.
Nice.
But really good.
That's good.
Haven't watched very many movies, but that means I only watched like 6 or 7.
That's right. Yeah, for me, it's like 5 or 6 maybe.
No, I'm talking like on top of the ones we were reviewing.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Manchester United lost their first game in 25 games.
Oh, what's up with that?
Fucking Arsenal yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
God damn it.
Yeah, you guys had a chance to
overtake Liverpool.
Up. Yeah. That's
couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Liverpool, they'll find a way to fuck it up, though.
I'm sure. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Now we're going to win the Europa League.
There you go.
Which is an automatic Champions League spot.
That's right.
Yeah, we're up in the semifinals right now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, other than that, not much going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's the last couple of weeks. Mario Kart 8 came out for the Switch.
Oh, another Switch game.
Yeah. It's time to celebrate, month later or whatever it is. It's a blast. I'm having a good time with it.
Is that what they're gonna do? Just put a new game out every month and a half or so?
I think so.
That's kind of bullshit.
It is. Yeah, they need more games. But it's a lot of fun. I play with Sarah, and because the game is, they'll do everything they can to dethrone you while you're at first. It's a lot of fun because you get all these different shells coming my way. I'm usually in the front. And it's fun, though, because Sarah, even though she's kind of a novice when it comes to the series, she can still get in the mix and win some races here and there. And we have a lot of fun.
How does it look?
It looks great.
Like good frame rate?
Oh, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
cool.
Frame rate's perfect. Like, it's not like Zelda.
I heard they fixed Zelda's frame rate.
Yeah, I haven't played since.
Nice.
I haven't checked it out ever since they fixed the frame
rate. Yeah, like, I played it for 3 hours. I was like, holy crap, this is dropping frames.
Yeah.
It looks ugly.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Mario Kart 8 is, it's beautiful.
Cool, man.
Yeah, and of course, the NFL draft is come and gone, and that was a lot of fun. Just from a football perspective, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, they beefed up their defensive unit. They grabbed some cornerbacks and a defensive end and a linebacker. So I'm pretty excited.
I was getting all excited for my team's draft pick. I think they're like 28th.
Yeah.
Then they traded it.
That's right.
Like,
moved back a few spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't pick a running back.
Yeah, they got Jamal Williams a little bit later, and a guy named so-and-so Aaron Jones, I believe.
Nice.
They both should contribute, though. They both have really good tape. So
cool.
I'm hopeful that Jamal Williams will do well for the Packers.
Another 4 months?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
another 4 months.
It'll go flying by.
Anything else?
One last thing. Just wanted to extend a congrats to Brad and Jim from Movie Bears Podcast. They're getting married today as of while we record this.
Hell yes.
They're in Hawaii.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been following along, checking out their pictures, and couldn't be more happy for them. So congrats, you guys.
Yeah, congrats, you too. I got one more thing.
Okay, yeah.
Thought I'd save it till last. One of the greats died, man. Jonathan Demme.
That's right.
You might know him from certain films like Melvin and Howard, Stop Making Sense, Something Wild. little film called Silence of the Lambs.
That's right, yeah.
Philadelphia. My favorite film of that year, Rachel Getting Married.
Okay, yeah.
And last year, he made a pretty cool... He made a lot of music docs. Mm-hmm. He made a really cool one with Justin Timberlake last year. It's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it,
oh,
it's really good. It's called Justin Timberlake and the Tennessee Kids.
Okay.
It's really good. One of the greats, man. He will certainly be missed.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
It seems like every episode we've got somebody to talk about who's passed on. And
yeah, and it's not always just some little indie guy. It always seems to be an all-timer,
mm-hmm.
which really sucks.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. You know, like, why can't Brett Ratner die?
That's right.
Did I really just say that?
I'm like, oh, man, Rush Hour 2 is so amazing.
Sorry, not sorry. And I saw that new Transformers trailer. Michael Bay, you too, my friend.
Oh, no.
Dude, that new Transformers trailer, I couldn't see a fucking thing that happened in that trailer.
Yeah.
It was so many cuts.
Yeah, they need to chill with the cuts. The busy cuts and the super tight action where all you see is metal smashing into each other.
And I even saw it in like the opened up IMAX ratio.
Oh, okay.
And I still couldn't see a fucking thing.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's going to be torture, man. I really don't know if I can watch that film.
Yeah. They're tough to watch. I'm just glad he made his masterpiece, Pain and Gain, a few years ago.
That's a pretty good movie, actually.
I love that movie.
It was the anti-Michael Bay film.
It was. Though. It really was.
Just a lot of filters.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's it for me, man.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's get into the next part of our show, The Rant. This is where we rant about anything movie-related. What do you have for us this episode?
So, to all the assholes who ruined a cameo of a certain 80s action star in Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, go fuck yourself. You all suck. Once again, this movie opened early in Europe.
That's right, yeah.
Every Disney film, except for Star Wars, opens early in Europe. I knew half of Guardians before I even saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Rant out.
Yeah. I think this one even dates back to pre-production. Cast announcements, all that stuff. That sucks.
Yeah. Oh, and they put a major spoiler in the trailer that shouldn't have been there. But hey,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't make the trailer.
That's right. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I wish people could chill with that kind of stuff.
But... Yeah, you notice how I didn't say his name?
Yeah, that's how you do it.
That's how it's done.
Yeah. Take some notes. My rant is also related to Guardians of the Galaxy. My rant is about Baby Groot. Now, some bullshit website put out an article that said something to the effect of, here's why Baby Groot is actually bad, or something like that. And I'm sure that it's probably just, you know, clickbait, whatever. But it triggered a lot of people on Twitter to bitch about how Groot sucks and how they hated Baby Groot. And it's like, what? Why do you hate such joy in life, you know? And the thing is, Baby Groot is actually targeted for children. Children are going to want to buy Baby Groot toys. There's adults who are going to want that. But people always forget about marketing and how it isn't just about selling tickets and popcorn during opening weekend. They want to sell toys. They want to sell stickers.
Do you remember when the prequels came out? And everybody was like, fuck Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
My little cousin loved Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Wanted the plushie, wanted the cups, wanted all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you make another $1 billion.
Exactly. So you need to have stuff like Baby Groot. And I actually loved Baby Groot in the movie. We'll talk about it in the review. But, you know, these, you know, 24-year-old bloggers who have never actually lived life or loved anything in their lives before, never have been loved, don't have the capacity to understand that, hey, maybe little children will enjoy this.
Tell us how you really feel on this, man. Holy shit. Deep.
Some deep cuts, yo. So that's my rant.
Nice.
All right. I feel better now.
Baby Groot.
Oh, you.
No, I like Baby Groot.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna have to cut a motherfucker there. So now that the rant is out of our systems, let's move on. Let's talk about our first movie. Let's keep it with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You know why I did it, Star Munch?
You're not gonna answer, Star Munch.
I did it because I wanted to. What are we even talking about this for? We just had a little man save us by blowing up 50 ships.
How little?
but I don't like this.
A little one-inch man saved us.
Well, if he got closer, I'm sure he'd be much larger.
That's how eyesight works, you stupid raccoon.
Don't call me a raccoon!
Okay, so what is this movie all about?
Directed by James Gunn, who's back from the first one. Set to the backdrop of awesome mixtape Volume 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Michael Rooker, Karen Gillan, Kurt Russell, and I'm going to say this wrong. I apologize. Palm Clementif.
Yes. Who
plays Mantis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You don't know what I thought of this film.
I have no idea.
We haven't talked in a couple of days. I think it's a good film. It's a fine film. It's just really hard to... Guardians 1 is a perfect film.
Yeah.
Other than it doesn't have a villain.
Right, right.
If that thing had a villain, it was the best Marvel film ever made as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
That movie kicks a lot of ass and everybody loves that film.
Oh, yeah.
I walked into this one expecting more of the same, and for the first 20 to 30 minutes, I was rather disappointed.
Oh, really?
I think it takes forever to get going.
Yeah.
The first part of it is, other than the opening credit part, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil that in case you haven't heard. I was like, wow, this is... The dialogue's kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not liking the characters.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a really boring action scene that everything looks the same and you have no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't liking it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, holy shit, they fucked up Guardians of the Galaxy. What is wrong with Disney? The second Kurt Russell hits this film, shoots up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shoots up big time.
Oh, yeah.
Then it becomes a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
That's right.
And I liked it.
Yeah.
I think it's a step back. What do you think?
I'm somewhere a bit above that. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Opening action sequence, we get a dose of, you know, the people we love, that the characters we root for. And I thought that was really cool. And you get Baby Groot kind of just chilling out. You see a little bit of that in the trailer. We won't get into specifics. So for me, it was nice. It was like a nice reunion after, what's it been, 2 or 3 years since the last one?
Yeah.
So you get a bit of that reunion. I agree with you, though. It does take a bit to get going, because as I was watching the film, I was like, I actually didn't know anything about this going in. I was kind of going, who's the villain? Who's the bad guy? Who are they fighting against in this movie? I think I realized it once the characters realized it on screen. And I was like, okay, I'm with this. And I really enjoyed that aspect. The villain they had in the movie, I thought was pretty cool.
A proper villain.
Yeah, absolutely.
No Lee Pace here.
That's right.
Yeah, no dance battle at the end either.
No, none of that. I agree with you to an extent that it gets, once they get to Ego, that's Kurt Russell's character, it does pick up. I also thought it lingered a little bit too long in that sequence once they get there. But at the same time, they kept the story moving by touching on all of these side stories with Zoe Saldana's character and Karen Gillan's character, and get a bit of Rocket, and even Yondu has a bigger role in this. Rooker.
I'm going to come back to Yondu.
Yeah. I did appreciate learning more about the supporting cast in this movie, which I guess is a big plus here. But I think I'm sort of in the same ballpark as you, is that I didn't leave like freaking out the way I did with the first one.
I saw a really early press screening of Guardians of the Galaxy, and I felt like it was my job to tell the world how great that film was.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like that for this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a fine film, and everybody's going to see it. I just don't think it's quite as good as the last one. Like, I feel like it's like a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I rated the first one 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
A little bit of a drop.
Yeah.
Still a good film.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of Mantis?
Mantis was really cool. That was the servant character, right?
No, she was one of the antennae.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, she was a servant, though, wasn't she?
I guess technically to,
yeah,
to Ego.
But, yeah, she was really cool. I liked
her like telepathy stuff and her all about feelings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she brought up really great one-liners from the secret greatness of the film, Drax.
Yeah.
Drax and his one-liners, so good. Because he's so stone-faced and doesn't get like irony or anything like that. It's hilarious.
I
love Drax.
Yeah.
What did you think of Rocket?
Rocket's good. I love him.
I heard a lot of people are disappointed in Rocket this movie.
Oh, really?
So I had to ask what you thought of him.
Yeah, I think that he carries the emotional anchor of the film in both films. He's got these beats that just work for me, whether I'm laughing or rooting him on or getting it all choked up and emotional kind of thing. I think he's great. And Bradley Cooper does a fine job with the voiceover work. So I love Rocket.
I think the best character in the film is not Peter Quill.
No, he's far from it.
No, I think he's serviceable.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is what Chris Pratt is. He's kind of a goofy guy. He knows the leader, but he's still a goof.
Mm-hmm.
The best character in the film is Yondu.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Absolutely.
He absolutely steals the film. Michael Rooker is great in this film.
Yeah.
And he's the reason I think this film snapped up for me.
Okay.
His relationship with Rocket and Star-Lord, to me, makes this film.
Oh,
the ending of this film made me cry.
Oh, really?
Not afraid to say that.
Yeah.
It's really emotional.
Yeah.
And the ending makes the film.
Oh, totally.
It's really good.
Yeah, it ties it all together.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the way they end it, I was just like, okay, you guys just killed me. Like, that's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Rooker.
Oh, yeah. He is outstanding.
Yeah, he's not going to win an Oscar or anything for that. But in these kinds of films, you don't get these kinds of performances. He's really great.
That's a good point. And he doesn't get these kind of roles where he's put sort of in the spotlight of a major blockbuster. And
no, he's got that.
I'm so thankful for that.
He's got that voice.
Yeah.
like Michael Madsen or something like that. You think they'd be bigger because of that voice.
Oh, totally.
They're not.
Yeah.
I didn't think the music was as good either.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
A couple of good standout tracks, but not as good as the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty good film.
Yeah.
It's also shot really well. It's inventive as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I love the look of it.
Yeah.
But as I said, starts off a little slow, picks up in the middle, and the ending is what makes the film.
Oh, totally.
So as I said earlier, 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I think I'm somewhere around 4, 4.5 out of 5. I'm still undecided on that one. Because, it is a little inconsistent. I'll definitely agree with you on that. And, the finale is just spectacular. And Kurt Russell, man, I love seeing that Kurt Russell in this movie. Like, you can tell he's just having a blast. And, he's not there to try to steal the show or anything, but I think he's a good addition. And
And he's probably the best part of the new Fast and the Furious movie, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Just having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
He's earned it.
He has, definitely.
What'd you think of the aging thing at the beginning of the film?
Oh, man. I wish they used his son in that instead of, like, doing the Star Wars CGI thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's got to go.
Yeah. It's a trend that I'm not cool with.
Looks a little weird.
It looks so weird.
Yeah, I don't need to see Snake Plissken in this film, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What's his son's name? Wyatt?
Wyatt.
Yeah, just throw Wyatt in there.
I like darker hair. I like Wyatt Russell.
Yeah, he's awesome.
If I see him in a film other than Goon 2, I'm really a big fan of him.
Yeah. And to be fair to him in Goon 2, he's really good in that.
Yeah.
What they ask him to do, he's really good at that.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, cool, man.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the first proper big blockbuster of the year.
Yeah.
Fate of the Furious made $1 billion, but the movie sucks.
So we're going to say
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is the first film in the summer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Cool.
Speaking of blockbusters.
How much did The Circle make first weekend?
I don't know. It was not much.
No.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next movie. This one is called The Circle.
We all pay taxes.
That's true.
And what, 80% of us did that online last year? Why not stop duplicating services? Why not just make it all part of one unified system? You could pay your taxes, vote, pay your parking ticket, all through your Circle account. We'd save users hundreds of hours of inconvenience. We'd save the government billions.
Hundreds of billions.
We could eliminate half of it overnight.
Why wouldn't the government just build a similar service? Why the hell did they need us?
It would cost too much. They don't have the expertise. We already have the infrastructure.
You are absolutely right.
Government needs us more than we need them.
Okay, so what is this movie all about?
Directed by James Ponsoldt, a woman lands a dream job at a powerful tech company called The Circle, only to uncover a nefarious agenda that will affect the lives of her friends, family, and that of humanity.
Ooh.
IMDb is like pumping the shit out of this film.
Yeah.
Emma Watson, Tom Hanks, the Karen Gillan episode.
Yeah.
Eller Coltrane, the great Bill Paxton. More on him later.
Yeah.
John Boyega, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. At least half of those names are useless in this movie.
Pretty much. yeah, enough on that. A little bit on that later, too.
Yeah.
Let's just go this right off the top. A lot of people are just absolutely killing this film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad film. It's not a terrible film.
Yeah.
I say the first 20 to 30 minutes are actually quite watchable.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a cool idea, this girl gets put in this middle of this like giant Facebook-like company, and she is getting bombarded by stuff, and she doesn't really know what to do because it's super overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that's really cool. I don't mind this movie. And then it gets really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Really dumb.
Yeah.
And characters that you thought you were totally going to get invested in disappear for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And when they come back, their personality has completely changed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they wrote the script and then rewrote it a month later after they had already filmed a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really bad. It's just not terrible like everybody's saying it is. So
yeah.
It's a Netflix at best watch, but mm-hmm. What did you think?
I'm kind of along the same path. Like, I really enjoyed, yeah, probably about half of this movie. Like, the setup is really cool, and once she gets to the circle, it's kind of cool. And the thing is, where this gets lost is in the poor direction of this film. Like, her character's face, you can... At least this is what I took away as I was watching it. She seemed at odds with some of the stuff she was being asked to do, whether it was stuff after work or during work or stuff with her parents. You could tell she was kind of questioning that in her head just because of the way she would react when she's told these things. But I don't think she was supposed to have that performance built into that part of the movie, which is why it's so confusing the way she flip-flops, the way she feels and has motivations that make zero sense throughout the rest of the movie.
They don't explain a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where's that part of the film?
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, always good.
Oh, yeah.
Good in this film.
He is.
Yeah. Can't blame Tom Hanks for this one.
Yeah.
He's the leader of the circle, along with Patton Oswalt, who's in the film for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe less.
Yeah, that's right.
Also with another quote-unquote founder, the John Boyega character, who's in the film for less than Patton Oswalt.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's in the film, it's him in a crowd. They just show him. He yeah. doesn't speak.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You get John Boyega, and you just completely waste him.
He's like one of the biggest stars in the world in one of the biggest films of all time. And he has maybe a minute and a half of speaking time.
Yeah. So bad.
You fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Bill Paxton, one of his last films.
Oh, man.
There's a scene in this film that generally pissed me off to the point where I almost wanted to walk out of the film.
Yeah.
They embarrass Bill Paxton in this film. Yeah. It's gross.
It really is.
Yeah. And the fact that he died after they shot this film and they still put that scene in there, fuck you.
Yeah. That's so bad. It's so stupid. And they didn't have to do what they did in the movie. There's so many other things they could have done that would have been, you know, embarrassing for Emma Watson's character. But they didn't need to go that far. It was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh.
Hey, but really, this is just a really shitty Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, that's
Charlie
right.
Brooker made this episode already.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it was season 3, episode 1.
That's right, yeah.
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 I've seen this before. It was done a lot better.
Right. Yeah.
But hey, this one had a Beck concert in it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
All right. But yeah, support Charlie Brooker. Mm-hmm. Probably don't support The Circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this movie is just at odds with itself the entire way. And it doesn't have to be. Just take some extra time. Rewrite your script if you have to, because what they put together didn't make sense. And it makes me wonder what was left on the cutting room floor, because there's a lot of
endings.
Oh, the ending. Yeah, they didn't have an ending for this movie.
There's no ending.
They're like, hey, we've reached 100 minutes. Let's call it a day. And they just fucking, the movie just ends. What?
The worst, probably the worst ending of a film this year.
Oh, by far.
By far.
Yeah. I was so confused.
I know. It's like, end cut. And I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the final shot of the film contradicts everything that the Emma Watson character believed in 20 minutes before.
Oh, yeah.
And they also didn't explain why that changed.
Yeah.
Because nothing is explained in this film.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
So
as I said, the first act isn't bad.
Yeah.
So it's not a terrible film.
Yeah.
It just really falls apart.
It does.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. So, yeah. Skip The Circle. If you're curious about it, well, watch it when it hits Netflix. Watch like the first 20 minutes.
Maybe they'll do a director's cut where they put all the scenes in that make it make sense.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. There you go.
Oof.
All right. I think I'll pass.
Nah, I will never watch this film again.
Yeah, same here.
No.
Too bad.
Even if I find Karen Gillan really attractive with hair.
Yeah, that's right. I like her without hair, too.
You're weird, but I like her with hair.
Oh, man. I was all about it in the first Guardians movie. I was like, whoa, she's smoking hot as like a bald alien chick.
Yeah.
I think it's just that power thing, the way she's so forceful with people. I'd let her boss me around.
That got off topic real fast. I apologize.
All right.
Next.
Next on the green screen of death, After Hours. All right. Let's talk about our next movie.
Adrian talks about steamy stuff. Well, Bill makes nachos.
There you go. Yes. All right. Let's talk about the next movie. This one is called Colossal.
So you don't remember anything we talked about last night, huh?
I got really melodramatic, didn't I?
Well, told me that you weren't really on a vacation, that you've been looking for a job for a year, and you've been living with your boyfriend, Tim, and didn't work out. And since you didn't have any money, you decided to move back here for a little while. For the record, I figured out that you were broke on my own, so you don't have to feel bad about it.
Oh, well, congratulations. Is there anything else?
I told you that if you wanted to give me a hand at the bar, you're more than welcome. You'll make a little money while you're staying here.
What did I say?
You said yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked you when you're drunk. That's bad timing by me.
What are you talking about? It's such a nice thing to do. But, I mean, do you need help at the bar?
If this mess keeps going on, yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely need help at the bar. People got a drink.
Okay, so what is this movie all about?
Directed by Nacho Vigalondo.
Yeah.
Gloria is an out-of-work party girl forced to leave her life in New York City and moves back home. When reports surface that a giant creature is destroying Seoul, South Korea, she gradually comes to the conclusion that she is somehow connected to this phenomenon.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, man.
Jason Sudeikis. Dan Stevens, and the great Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah.
First off, are you allowed to say bad stuff about this film?
I am.
Okay.
I can say bad stuff about any movie.
I don't know. You're pretty in deep with these Fantastic Fest people.
That's right.
And Nacho Vigalondo is like the official mascot of Fantastic Fest. So
he is.
I just don't want you in trouble.
Oh, no. I've told friends to their face that I didn't like their movie. So
right on.
It's all good.
That's the only way to be, man.
Yeah.
Our show isn't as full of integrity.
Yeah. As long as you're honest about your opinion, I think that's what people... I think that's what they want, you know. They don't want you to lie to them.
No.
Or be a dick about it, but...
Yeah. As long as you can back your points up, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I like this one. I think it's pretty good, because I think the idea is really great.
Oh, yeah.
Execution's not as good as it probably could be,
mm-hmm.
but the idea of the film raises it up.
Oh, yeah.
I love the idea. Mm-hmm. It's a really funny idea.
It is, yeah.
I was thinking Anne Hathaway's character is a drunk. Yeah. She parties all night, passes out on a park bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when she gets up in a hungover stupor, her body movements are sort of mimicked by this creature in Seoul, South Korea.
That's right.
Who's destroying buildings because Anne Hathaway's fucking stumbling.
Yeah.
Genius!
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool.
I just wish it was made by a better director than Nacho Vigalondo.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Yeah, I really enjoyed that aspect. It's refreshing to see when a female character can play the burnout, can play the drunk, the fuck up, because it's always males that are cast into that role, right?
Yeah. Jason Sudeikis is the straight man in this film.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's an asshole.
Totally.
He's like the perfect asshole in this movie. And yeah, he plays, what is he, her childhood friend kind of thing at the back home kind of thing.
And he owns the bar that she drinks at and gets pissed and then goes and passes out on the park bench and then makes the monster destroy buildings.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun to see. And of course, this isn't the first time we've seen a female character do these things, but it's refreshing every time when it's pulled off with this much fun.
And Anne Hathaway's having a lot of fun here.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's really good in the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Sudeikis is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I really like Tim Blake Nelson. I always like Tim Blake Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't work enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's just wacky as hell and probably shouldn't work.
Yeah.
But it kind of does.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. I never met Nacho at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
Heard a lot of stories about Nacho Vigalondo.
That's right.
He's a bit of a bad man.
He is.
Likes his alcohol.
He does.
Yeah.
I've never actually chatted with him, but I've been in his vicinity. And he's a character.
The aura was enough.
That's right.
It was all encompassing.
That's right. Yeah. I've got a quick story to tell you. One of my roommates, I think, is pretty close to them. One of the guys I stay with at Fantastic Fest. It was the last day of Fantastic Fest, and Nacho Vigalondo was doing interviews in the Highball, which is right next door to it's like the Draft House and the Highball. They're like in one building. So he steps out, I think he was going to the bathroom or something, and my roommate was like, "Yo, Nacho, come here," and he like gave him a hug, and like Nacho mooned him, and then like pulled his pants down, full bare ass in front of us. My buddy started spanking him and like wouldn't let him go, and he's like, "Let go of me, motherfucker, let go," and he's like ran away with his pants around his ankles, and you're just like, what the fuck caused this huge scene in the South Lamar lobby?
Oh, Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
That would never change.
Yeah. That's like the only festival you'll see something like that, and that'll be just a normal day.
Like, where else are you going to see a director whose film opened on like 1,500 screens running across the South Lamar butt-ass naked?
Yeah.
Fantastic Fest.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the only place. I really enjoyed this movie, though. It's fun. Like you said, the idea is really good. The execution is maybe not as good as the idea. But I had a lot of fun with it. If I had to rate this film, I'd probably give it about a 3.5 out of 5, somewhere in there.
I'd give it a 4.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Just for when she makes the kaiju do all that cool dancing stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
That was a really cool scene.
Yeah. That is a good scene, yeah.
But yeah, it's the first film from Neon.
Okay.
Jim Lee's new company.
Yeah.
Draft House Films does not exist anymore.
That's right.
It is now Neon.
Okay.
And good luck to them.
Yeah.
I don't know how well this film did, but support it.
Yeah. Check it out.
It's not a bad little film.
Well worth your time.
Yes.
And money.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to our next part of the show. This is the Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie. Every single time. I haven't seen it before. Bill somehow knows what I haven't seen. We never talk about it ahead of time.
I have ESPN.
That's right. You have ESPN. All right. Hey. He can tell you all the latest scores as well.
Zing.
What was that from?
I don't remember, but the line just came in.
Mean Girls.
Yeah.
The blonde one said it. I think I have ESPN or something. Anyway, Bill uses his ESPN to pick a movie. I haven't seen it before. We come back here and we talk about it.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's right.
And I have no idea what you think of this film. So.
Yeah, you have no idea.
No, so from 2010, the great Mike Lee.
Yeah.
Except for Mr. Turner.
Yeah.
Another year.
That's
right. Film I hold in really high stature.
You do, eh?
But after I freaking gave that to you, I'm like, this is like the white people movie of the white people.
It really is.
And I know how Adrian loves the white people movies. So as I said last episode, I was super crunched for time and I ran over to my Blu-rays. I'm like, oh shit, that just picked one off 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
And I'm a little afraid.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what's going on.
That's
so
right.
I'm just going to ask you, Adrian Charlie, did you like Another Year?
I enjoyed it.
As much as you can enjoy it.
As much as I could. I've seen two Mike Lee movies now, and this I definitely enjoyed this more than I did Mr. Turner. But I think it's as you said, this is like the most white bread movie ever. It's English people drinking Sunday tea and brunch and family get-togethers, and but you know I'm oversimplifying it because there is a lot going on here, like the single lady who has a crush on her best friend's son, and she's trying to find, still in the later stages of her life, still trying to find her comfort zone, trying to find happiness. And I really enjoyed that aspect of the movie. That lady just, she put it all out there, and it's an incredible performance.
Yeah, more of that in a bit.
Yeah.
So it stars Jim Broadbent, who's a national treasure.
He is.
I freaking love Jim Broadbent. His wife in the film, played by Ruth Sheen. Mary, the person you were just talking about, played by the great Leslie Manville.
Okay, yeah.
Probably one of the best female performances I've ever seen.
Nice, yeah.
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Oliver Maltman, David Brady, and Imelda Staunton, who's in two scenes and kind of steals the film as a woman who just can't sleep.
Oh, yeah.
This is a film, man. It's not for everyone, as you know. As I said, it's Whitey McWhitey the movie.
Yeah.
But the sheer force of the acting in this film and the just natural realness of the film, like it just feels freaking real.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mike Lee doesn't really have a script.
Yeah.
It's like the British mumblecore.
Yeah.
Except for they rehearse it for 6 months and just sort of get into the characters and just kind of know where they're supposed to go. And he just lets them do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mike Lee is a freaking, he is the Duplass brothers of England.
Oh,
except for he's 70 years old.
That's awesome.
Broadbent and the Sheen character play characters named Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Insert laughter.
Yeah.
This couple who are getting pretty close to retirement, who have a lot of people that really seem to count on them emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of really fragile, broken people.
Yeah.
There's the Mary character, who's a drunk.
Yeah.
Chain smokes. Middle-aged. Starting to really figure out that maybe her life hasn't quite gone the way she wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
There's their son, Joe, who is a bit of a smartass, kind of likes to talk to Mary, because I think Mary to him was that cool person when he was younger, and now that he's grown up, notices that she's a fucking alcoholic.
Yeah.
And then there's Ken, who is Tom's friend from back in the day, who's also like Mary, a drunk, smokes too much, eats too much.
Yeah.
And all these people kind of just gravitate to them because they're like the anchor of everybody.
Yeah.
And they're just a nice little couple who wants to go into their vegetable patch and pick some fresh tomatoes.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's all about, it all comes down to this one scene where they're having like this dinner party. And the Joe character, the son, introduces his new girlfriend, and Mary gets really freaking weird about it.
Yeah.
And they all kind of figure out that maybe Mary kind of wants to date Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
All hell kind of breaks loose.
That's right.
And, Mary kind of gets excommunicated.
Yeah.
And she's not really allowed around anymore until she finally goes there one day. And in one of the most heartbreaking scenes I've seen in a film, it's the final scene in the film, actually. He kind of does like a weird curtain call.
Right.
Kind of spins the camera around, lets everybody talk for a second. And then he just places it on Mary for like 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just her fidgeting.
Yeah.
And when I first saw this film, I could not stop crying.
Yeah.
It is the harshest scene I've seen in a film. I watched it yesterday.
Right.
Still drove me to tears.
Oh, yeah.
She's fucking broken.
Yeah.
And this whole, like, when she gets excommunicated, she comes back and she looks 50 times worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
The pure power of that final scene is just everything I love in film, man.
Wicked.
Just the raw emotion of it. Mm-hmm. And then he just puts the camera on her and then fade to black.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh. Yeah. When I first saw that film, I couldn't get out of my chair.
Really?
I was so blown away by
it. Wow.
Say what you will about the Whitey McWhiteness of it.
Yeah.
That Leslie Manville performance is just so heads and tails above everything.
Oh, yeah.
She is so great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a challenging film. There's lots going on.
Yeah.
There's stuff I haven't talked about. There's like a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you meet, Tom's brother, who everybody says is this super tough, hard man.
Yeah.
And he was like an asshole and all this. And they get to his house and all you see is a broken man.
Oh, yeah.
His wife just died. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he looks at his brother and goes, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instant tears. I'm just like, fuck this film. Like,
yeah.
I've seen it probably 10 times and I was still crying at that scene.
That's unbelievable.
The pure power of this film. I don't know what it just hits me every time I watch it.
Yeah.
And that's filmmaking to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking too much, but
no, man, it's good. It's good stuff.
I freaking love this film. I think it's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it sounds like you liked it. So
yeah, I really enjoyed it. The Mary character, the final shot you're talking about, I thought there was a bit of a look she exchanged with Tom's brother where the two of them acknowledged that, yeah, we're both alone, and these couples around here don't really recognize that.
No.
Or appreciate that. Or
that's just the thing. She kind of, the Jerry character and her kind of make up, but she still has this realization that she's like completely an outsider.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the brother plays Mr. Filch.
Okay, yeah.
In Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a revelation in this film.
He is.
He's so haunting.
Yeah.
Just the look on his face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And his fucking brutal son.
Oh, man.
Just shows up and just causes a commotion. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Just all they want to do is just go back to their garden patch, man. Like, it's all these people just making their life hell.
That's right. Yeah. I could certainly appreciate that aspect of the film. Like, that's why I didn't dismiss it as you say, Whitey McWhiterson movie. Because they have these deep, rich characters, it's hard to deny that in this movie. And the way they play off each other feels very real. Like, it feels like it doesn't feel like you're watching a movie at times, right? It feels like, hey, I'm watching my parents or my brothers,
or
my aunt and uncle, you know, wow, this comes from a real place. And a lot of time and effort's been put into what they're putting on screen here. And, it's one that I could certainly enjoy the performances. And, that Mary character, I kept thinking to myself, is this Frances Ha, like, you know, 30 years down the road kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the cool thing about Movie Club is that I like the fact that you get the chance to experience different kind of films. Like, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you watch a film like a Serbian film or, you know, Breaking the Waves or Best of Youth in another year. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
All these movies are all over the place.
Yeah.
And I think it's expanding the palette, man, which is all about getting that extra little vibe off a movie. And I think it sounds like you've kind of vibe with the film, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah. There's one thing I wanted to talk to you about the scene where she's interviewing the patient in the beginning. What's the Jerry's? Her name's Jerry.
Yeah.
She's talking to that patient and she's kind of talking about how sad she is and all of that. There's something about the way they shot that I thought was really cool. Like, there was a lot of space between them in the frames. And as she was trying to make a breakthrough, they would get a little tighter on their faces. And I thought that was just like, my mind was blowing at the time. I was just like, holy shit, dude, this is like really cool storytelling that you don't see every day.
Yeah.
That other filmmakers just aren't thinking about. Like, a lot of filmmakers would just shoot that flat. Like, they would just keep their faces in the same frame, or maybe they'd move around a little bit.
Standard one shot.
Yeah. But depending on the dialogue that was happening or the breakthrough she was trying to make, it just kept getting a little bit tighter on her face, and I thought that was a really cool technique.
Yeah, nice. I like that. Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, say what you will about Mr. Turner, it's a really well-shot film, too.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Lee is a really good hand. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think this is his best film.
Cool.
By far. But nice. You know what? Let's make this a little lighter. Sorry for the super heavy film.
It's all good. You know, one last thing. I think maybe the reason I didn't vibe with it as much as you, perhaps because it's too real. Because that couple, that's me in real life. Oh. I've got the people coming to me and telling me their stories or their hardships. I've got to keep a smile on my face and say, "Hey, do you want to try one of my fresh tomatoes?" Maybe that's it. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
It could be a defense mechanism. Yeah, I don't know.
It's what you bring to movies, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Sorry for the mirror image there.
That's right.
All right. So, yeah. Let's make this a little lighter.
Yeah.
I actually had a movie and I was totally going to use for Movie Club today, and I started watching it, and the disc that I have is like rotting or something, because it played 37 minutes of it and then just started to skip like crazy.
Damn.
And I tried it in my Blu-ray player and my PS4 and my Xbox One.
Damn.
None of them would play it.
Oh.
So the disc was fucked. So I had to change the movie on the fly. So I said, fuck it. What movie did I like last year that Adrian hasn't seen? And I thought, hey, what was my number 5 movie of last year? It was 20th Century Women.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
Right on.
The really great Mike Mills film, starring the really great Annette Bening.
Okay.
And Green Screen of Death approved Greta Gerwig.
Hey,
yes. Right. It's a really great film that nobody talked about last year.
That's
or this
right.
year.
Yeah.
Kind of opened and went away.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change that.
Yeah.
I feel like changing that.
Cool.
Yeah, 20th Century Women. It's great. Cool. I hope you really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was either that or another movie that's just opening right now called I, Daniel Blake.
Right.
But it still might open here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let that – it just opened in Vancouver. So I'm going to let that play out.
Cool.
But yeah, 20th Century Women.
Wicked.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man. So just another friendly reminder, if you want to join Movie Club, you can watch – 20th Century Women, or any previous Movie Club entry. You can send your comments to us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll read that on the show. It's always fun when somebody else participates. The best compliment anybody can ever give us is, hey, I watched this movie because of you, and here's what I thought. Even if you don't like it. That's always nice to hear.
Tell me how white another year is.
That's right.
At least you watched it.
That's right.
I'd rather have your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what we stress here. We always have to be honest with each other, and that's been our approach even before we had this podcast. So you have until May 21st to get your comments to us for Movie Club. And again, it can be for another year, or it can be for any other movie we've
reviewed. Dead Alive.
Dead Alive. Give us your comments on that. And we'll talk about that. So, yeah, that's Movie Club.
Cool.
Awesome. Ready to move on to the next part of the show?
Sure.
All right. Let's get into the lightning round. This is where we give brief reviews of other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode. You want me to start?
Sure.
I think my list is shorter.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of the stuff you've seen. So
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So the first one we're going to talk about is called Small Crimes. This one is acquired by Netflix, I believe.
Played Sundance. Yeah.
Purchased by Netflix, and they put it out like a couple months later.
I like that business model.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't want to wait for stuff.
Yeah.
Put it on Netflix.
Yeah.
It was never going to open here anyway.
That's right. Yeah, even if it did open theatrically, it would never open here. This one, I'll just elaborate. I posted one tweet about this film. I think it stumbles out of the gate and has a bit of hard time finding its footing. But I really appreciated the finale. Like, it wrapped up really nicely. And, you know, I mentioned Pat Healy in this movie. He plays a supporting character. He plays like a gangster. And he has like the most ridiculous costume and some kind of accent I don't understand. But man, it was a blast to see him play that character. And
more on Pat Healy in a bit.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one I thought had a bit of tonal issues. Like, there were times when I thought it was going for black comedy, but I didn't quite laugh, and I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be funny or just dead face serious. So
yeah, the lead actor is Nikolai Waldau from plays Jaime Lannister on Game of Thrones.
That's right.
Plays a guy just getting out of jail who seems to have pissed off everybody in the town he goes back to.
Yeah, that's right.
And lots of stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Not going to ruin that for you. Thought this was pretty poor. It felt like they were trying to make a 70s noir, but they hadn't actually watched any 70s noir mm-hmm. or 60s or 50s noir.
Yeah.
I said, Pat Healy's really good in it. But yeah, didn't like this one at all.
Really? Yeah.
No, yeah. That was really average.
Okay.
At best.
Yeah.
Thanks, Netflix, but yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, it was kind of the way, on a much smaller scale, of course, the way you put it for Guardians. Like, I appreciated the finale, and that's what kind of tied it together for me.
It came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Hot take here.
Hot take? Hot bring take. It on. Here That's we go. What we're all
here
about.
We go. I've never, you know, had shots with Evan Katz, the director. Mm-hmm. I don't call him a friend.
Right.
So I'm not pimping the shit out of this film. It's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
You all got blinders on.
Yeah.
You really do. It's not a very good film.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to hear that, but he made a really great film called Cheap Thrills.
Right.
That film is twice the film this is.
Yeah.
That's a great film.
Mm-hmm.
This is not.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's tough because, you know, hashtag film Twitter really pumped this one up the day it came out, and I didn't see it until like a week later. So
I was super pumped for it too. I retweeted a bunch of stuff because I love Cheap Thrills.
Yeah,
yeah, I expected more.
Yeah, so yeah, I was hoping for better. I still enjoyed it for the most part, but not super stoked on it. Then I watched something else from Netflix, Dear White People, series they have. It's a, I believe, 10-part series.
Have you seen the movie?
I haven't.
The movie's good.
Okay.
I like the movie quite a bit.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I believe it's like all the same cast as well.
Please tell me the show's on, the movie's on Netflix.
I don't think it is, actually.
Really? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
That's a bad message right there.
That's right. It's really good. Sometimes it's a little too cutesy with its dialogue and setups. It's like wannabe early Kevin Smith, you know, like, you know, Kevin Smith had that quick banter, the quick-witted banter. Some of the characters go for that in this, and it's a little too clever at times. A little too, I don't know what's the word, self-indulgent, I guess.
I love how she starts all of her radio shows with, "Dear white people."
Oh, yeah. That's right. And it all starts with a blackface party. And they break up the blackface party. And they're like, "Dear white people, here's a list of acceptable Halloween costumes." And she lists a bunch of, you know, slutty nurse and all this stuff. She's like, "Here's a list of unacceptable costumes. Me." It's like, yeah.
Lovely.
It's good, though. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
Just so much to watch on Netflix.
Oh, big time.
I still have to watch like Jessica Jones and
yeah, same here.
Luke Cage, yep, and all those same. And Master of None's back on Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Which is like so anticipated.
Yeah.
That's one of the great shows.
That's a great one.
If you haven't watched that, series one.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, get on it.
Yeah.
Then I also watched Maudie. I went back and saw that second time and loved it all over again.
Sally Hawkins?
Sally Hawkins is just phenomenal in this film. I love her performance and love the story. It's Canadian, which is always really cool, but it will never be the reason why I love the film. It's just one of the reasons why.
I like good movies.
Yeah, same here.
Regardless of country.
Yeah, yeah.
Ethan Hawke's really good in it, too.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's really great in pretty much everything nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was in my top 20 last year.
Cool.
It was the first 5-star film I gave at the Vancouver International Film Festival last year.
Nice.
I didn't give many.
Yeah. It was like, wasn't that the opening film?
It was.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And I was the first person in my friend group to see it. And everybody's like, "You gave that 5 stars? I'm like, "Yeah, I did. It's really good."
Nice.
They're like, "Bullshit." And I'm like, no, yeah. Seriously, it's really good.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Okay, well, I'll see it later in the festival." And they're all like, "Yeah, it was really good. Sorry."
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Then I watched Camera Person on Criterion Blu-ray. This is just an outstanding film.
And yeah, I heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
Was that a top tenner for you last year?
I can't remember.
It was number 11 for me last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way up there for me. I know that much in terms of films I love from last year. I appreciated it even more the second time around because I'm familiar with the beats of the film and what to expect. And I was able to just sit back and enjoy, or sit back and be terrified. And yeah, for anybody who's unaware, it's from a documentary filmmaker named Kirsten Johnson. She's been a cinematographer on a lot of really big movies like Citizen 4 and Fahrenheit 9/11, a bunch of others blanking out on. But yeah, it's like her B-roll stuff, but she kind of went into her archives and wanted these to be her memoirs of her life, you know, as a mother, as a daughter, as a filmmaker, as an artist. It's just, it's the complete movie. I love it so much.
It's like everybody else's A-roll.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like she's really good.
Yeah.
Let me just ask this question, trying to be vague. Mm-hmm. Was the hospital scene still really incredibly hard to watch?
Oh, big time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, still holding my breath.
Oh.
Still crying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Terrifying
that
stuff.
That freaking scene, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really great film.
It is.
You know, once again, if you haven't seen Camera Person, you should probably get on that.
Yeah, check it out. It's it's on Criterion Blu-ray, DVD, and on demand as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for me for Lightning Round.
Cool. I watched the new Spike Lee one-man play Rodney King on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It's good. Featuring Roger Granvier Smith, who played Smiley in Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
Mookie.
Nice.
So hard to get into. Like, he's really, it's like a, like slam poetry. It's really fast and it's really violent, and this is what he's like a bucket of sweat 30 seconds in. He's like moving, and it took me a bit to get used to it, but once I got used to it, it's all aces. Like, this cool. He's really good. It's a tough thing to watch. He's talking about some pretty tough subjects here, but yeah, I recommend it.
Cool.
And Spike Lee.
Yeah, man. Gotta give him
The
respect he deserves.
Yeah. Even if the movie sucks, show your respect to Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Another Netflix thing, casting JonBenet.
Oh, yeah.
Another big Sundance winner for documentary.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to cast this movie about the JonBenet Ramsey killing. And it sort of becomes more about what all the people think about JonBenet Ramsey and the family.
Okay.
This is kind of interesting. It just runs out of steam.
Okay.
It's the same stuff over and over again, cut with, like, footage of what they shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of got really bored by it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know it's too bad. It's supposed to be, like, deep and all these people talking about how they think the mother did it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just didn't do much for me.
Okay.
I'm that guy. 3%, baby.
There you go.
I bought a bunch of Criterion Blu-rays about 2 months ago from a pawn shop.
Oh, yeah.
Paid like $11 for them.
Sweet.
And in Canada, that's a really good deal.
It is.
That's a smoking deal.
Yeah, we've got to pay like $40 for them
most
of the time.
So, I watched a movie called The Friends of Eddie Coyle from the 70s, a Paramount film starring Robert Mitchum, who is a complete badass. I love Robert Mitchum. It's about being a gangster in the 70s in Boston, and just how not very glamorous it was.
Okay.
And how everybody just wanted to fuck everybody over.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody fucks everybody over in this film.
Nice.
It's a nasty little piece of work.
Cool.
I quite enjoyed it, actually.
Nice.
Plus, they go to a hockey game and Bobby Orr is playing.
That's awesome.
Enough said.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool little film. I quite liked it. Criterion Blu-ray.
Nice.
Really nice transfer, too.
Right on.
Got that film grain.
Nice.
That sexy film grain.
Yeah. That fabric.
Yeah, I love it. And last but not least, another Netflix thing, in 6 months.
That's right.
Because they actually put the Pat Healy film in movie theaters.
That's right.
They did. Take Me. Little thing here.
Yeah.
First person I met at Fantastic Fest, the one year I went, in my hotel, was Pat Healy.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
he was a really cool dude.
Yeah.
He didn't big time me, talked to me like I was a human, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
Really liked Pat Healy. We had a really cool conversation. He sent me the shuttle schedule. Like,
nice.
Yeah, I was just like, out of the, I'm like, cool, you're Pat Healy. Like, yeah. Who am I? And he was a really cool dude. Yeah. So thanks for that, Pat Healy.
Yeah.
The movie's really good.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I know Pat Healy.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say that if I hate or dislike something or love it,
yeah,
I like this movie.
Cool.
Pat Healy stars in it with Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black.
That's right, yeah.
And he, love this premise.
Yeah.
he's a guy who runs a professional kidnapping business where people pay him
yeah.
to kidnap them and then, like, torture them.
So, don't you do this? I do this on the weekend.
All the time.
All the time.
So the Taylor Schilling character pays him a bunch of money. It's usually only about 8 hours long. She wants to do it the whole weekend. And she wants to get freaky.
Oh, wow.
She wants to get hit.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Yeah.
He starts doing it, and she has her own plans. It is really twisted.
Nice.
And I really liked it.
Cool.
It's kind of like almost a little bit similar to, like, without the ending, to, like, Fincher's The Game.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
So if you like that movie, I think you're probably going to dig this one.
Wicked.
It's a pretty damn good film.
Nice.
For what it is, I was quite impressed. Theatrically, and then 6 months from now, Netflix.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, they own the film.
Yeah.
Is that the first Netflix film they actually put in the theaters before putting on Netflix?
I don't know.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
But yeah, seek it out.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah.
This is where I watched it.
Yeah.
Even in Canada, it's on iTunes.
That's pretty cool. Like,
what the hell? That never happens. But yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the better films I've seen this year, actually.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I haven't seen it yet. I'll check it out soon.
Cool.
Who put that out? Was it Orchard Studios?
Yeah.
The Duplass brothers?
Yep. Yeah.
I think they have a deal with Netflix where a number of their movies have to go theatrical before Netflix, and that was one of them.
Well, that's cool. I had no idea. I had no idea about that. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, I read one interview with him, and he talked about how the Duplass brothers were just kind of hands off. They were just like, yeah, go do your own thing. And I think that's awesome.
Pat Healy wears this rug on his head throughout the entire film.
Nice.
Oh, it's so
character
good.
On its own.
So good. So good.
Right on, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you mentioned he was the first person you met at Fantastic Fest. I think he was the first person I met at Fantastic Fest. I think I was either checking into the hotel or waiting for the shuttle the first day. And yeah, he walked into the lobby. He was meeting a friend there.
So yeah, he was just sitting there in the lobby.
Hello.
I was like, yo, Pat Healy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had just watched Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
In 35 millimeter.
That's right.
At probably the greatest theater of all time, the Alamo Drafthouse Ritz.
Nice.
I love that
theater. Yeah, that was cool.
Been there twice.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of want to go there again, but I won't have time.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I interviewed him for the podcast, and he mentioned meeting you. He's like, oh, I met your co-host buddy, Bill,
nice.
Back at the hotel. And
nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, take me.
Cool.
It's probably my favorite, other than Another Year. It just doesn't count. It's my favorite thing on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If I were to recommend one movie to watch, take me.
Wicked.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No bullshit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check it out for sure. Is that it for your lightning
round? That is it.
Cool. Well, what do we have? What do we have to look forward to in the next episode?
May the 12th. Guy Ritchie is back.
Yeah.
Did we want it? I don't know about that.
I do. Bring it on.
This is funny because I gave you tickets to see it a week and a half ago. You didn't even go.
Yeah. It was the day one of the NFL draft.
Nice. Got to have priorities.
That's right.
So yeah, we're talking about King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. This looks awful.
You think so?
I know people who've seen it and say it's like the worst film of the year.
No way.
Oh, that's like a fucking terrible Guy Ritchie film. Slow motion walking.
Hey, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Style.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So much style.
Charlie Hunnam.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can get it done, dude.
All right.
Pacific Rim.
Lost City of Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, man.
I'll see it.
Jude Law being a badass. Come on.
All right. You talked me into it. There we go.
Yes.
And other than that, there's only one other movie that weekend.
Yeah.
Do you like some crappy comedy from Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn?
Oh.
Snatched.
I haven't heard of this movie.
They go on a vacation in like Mexico or some South America area and get kidnapped and they have to escape. It looks awful.
Oh, geez.
It looks really terrible.
Yeah.
I will see it just because there's nothing else to watch.
That's brutal.
Gets a little better the next week, but not by much. Alien Covenant.
Okay.
I've already heard people say it's like the second or third big summer film, and it's already the worst summer film of the year.
No way.
Use your hyperbole, people.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
I love the trailers. I dug 80% of Prometheus.
Okay.
And this is supposedly like a direct sequel to it.
Okay.
So I'm cool with that. Heard Fassbender's really great in it.
Yeah.
I like Catherine Waterson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. These movies, they're guilty until proven innocent with me.
Really?
I was excited for Prometheus. It was a pile of garbage.
Nice.
Yeah, the crew were so stupid. The guy who creates their maps, he got lost? How the fuck do you get lost, dude? I could go on for half an hour about how dumb that movie is. Charlize Theron, run sideways, yo. What are you doing?
Yeah. It only kind of gets worse after this.
Okay.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul.
Oh, all right.
Have you seen any of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid
ones? I have. I've seen like the first three. They were entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah, but I watched them with my niece.
I saw the first one and I tapped out.
Oh, yeah?
Not made for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you heard of this one. Everything, Everything.
No.
You might have seen the trailer. About this girl who can't go outside because she's like allergic to it or something. And
oh, I saw the trailer.
Yeah, for that, and yeah. There's like a boy next door and they fall in love through the window.
Yeah, cute boy.
And she decides she's going to go outside, even though it might kill her, just to like meet the boy and go on an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Sparks? I don't know. Yeah, probably not, but it sure sounds like it.
It sounds like that. What was that movie called where that girl was sick and the boy was sick and
Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah, this sounds like that movie.
You love that movie.
Oh.
I actually like that
movie. Hated.
Yeah. It looks fine. Also not for me.
That's right.
I'm not a 14-year-old girl. I'm sorry. That might sound really terrible, but that's what that movie is.
It really is.
And that's it.
Wow.
But.
Yeah.
Side note, May 23rd might be the greatest day ever in VOD history.
Okay.
Because not only did we get Logan on VOD.
Nice.
We get Buster's Malhart and Raw.
Sweet.
I finally get to see Raw.
There you go.
Yay.
Awesome.
So we'll have that next episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. That's cool, man.
Yeah. I've been waiting forever for Raw.
Yeah,
since last September.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, man. I'm surprised it didn't play at Vancouver Film Fest. That was a shocker.
I'm surprised that the booker at the Rio Theater didn't book Raw. But she's incompetent and doesn't know anything about movies.
Okay.
Hot take.
Hot take. All about it today, yeah. Man.
Oh, sorry. Not sorry.
That's right. Oh, that's so funny. I may or may not have witnessed her shit-talking a movie at a film festival, and the film's producer happened to be sitting next to her, and it was one of the funniest things I've seen at the film festival. Oh, you talking about my movie? And the guy, he had a very strong accent.
Nice.
It was uncomfortable and awesome at the same time.
I might be the only person that doesn't like her. Yeah. So
I don't know.
Whatever. She was really rude to me one time and I've never forgotten it.
That's right.
Whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
that's it, man.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Well, I guess we can start to move to close the show here. Before we let you go, we should remind you that you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Throw us a like and a comment. We'd appreciate that. You can also find us on Facebook. Just want to search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like, and feel free to submit your movie club discussions there.
Come at us, bro.
Yeah, come at us, bros. And we also have a Twitter account. We're at @green_screen. You have a Twitter account, right?
I do. At @soundjam69. Say hi.
Say what up. And I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @adrian_charlie. These days, my Twitter is just filled with football tweets, so you don't have to follow me if you don't like football.
I think I had 2 tweets since the last show.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's how it's done, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm good like that.
Right on, dude. Cool. Well, again, thanks very much for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.